Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: Every good gift and every perfect gift. Chapter 7. The gift of the Holy Spirit, Part 3. Topic D. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16-25. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. When a Christian is awakened to the greatness of the gift of God in allowing the Holy Spirit to dwell in one's heart, one too may become more aware that this presence is continuous in both time and place. And so there is no reason why the Holy Spirit should not guide a Christian always and in all things. One of the specific themes of the series, The Life of the Christian in the World. Nevertheless, living or having a relationship with the Holy Spirit not only produces differences in the instructions for a Christian's life, but can also produce remarkable changes in the Christian and in how one performs what one does. One of the central aspects of the relationship with the Holy Spirit is that it generates profound and substantial changes also in the person who exposes oneself to the presence and direction of the Spirit of the Lord and, consequently, in how one understands the will of God and acts in one's life. By the Spirit of God, fleshly works can be mortified, as well as spiritual and heavenly virtues can flourish and become established in the life of the person who exposes oneself to the Holy Spirit and allows oneself to be transformed by the relationship with Him, an aspect that we can see in the texts that we present or repeat below. Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Galatians 6:7-9. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Galatians 5:19-23. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Therefore, fellowship with the Holy Spirit generates in the Christian a blessed fruit of the Lord in one's life, with the most sublime and exalted virtues that a person could aspire to. The word fruit, in turn, according to the comments associated in the online Bible with the notes relating to Strong's lexicon, refers to 1. fruit, that is, the fruit of the trees, vines, of the fields, as well as the fruit of one's loins, that is, his progeny, his posterity. 2. That which originates or comes from something, an effect, result, as for example, work, act, deed. Advantage, profit, utility. Praises, which are presented to God as a thank offering. To gather fruit, that is, a reaped harvest. In this way, if the inclination towards the flesh produces the harvest of the works pertinent to the flesh or the fruit of the flesh, as described above in the Scriptures, the inclination to the relationship with the Holy Spirit produces the results or the harvest of life according to the Spirit of the Lord, which we present again below. Eternal life. Being able to put to death the works of the flesh. Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness or meekness. Self-control. Each aspect in the above list is, then, worthy of being known more deeply. For this reason, we suggest that the reader meditates on each of the words or attributes mentioned, even looking for more references to these virtues in the Scriptures and some dictionaries that one may have access to. At the same time, we would like to clarify that the fact that we do not expand here on the approach of each of the aspects of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, exposed in the list above, is because we understand that, in the first place, having a sober conscience and conviction of the unique origin or source of all these virtues seems to us more important than knowing the meaning and breadth of each of the terms cited in the list in reference. Thus, the primary focus on the fruit of the Spirit is not a person being able to describe each of the terms of its virtues broadly, but instead being in connection with the one who can produce this fruit in one's life. And, in turn, the means for a Christian to achieve the virtues of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in one's life is evident in the Word of God, which shows us that all of them come from the personal relationship with the Holy Spirit Himself through whom the Lord expresses life according to the heavenly kingdom. It is essential for a Christian to understand that the virtues of the fruit of the Spirit can never come from one's mere natural condition and cannot be achieved by self-effort or natural discipline, for they come through the relationship or fellowship with the Spirit of God. For example, if a person is not inclined towards goodness, this is natural or fleshly. However, this person does not need to remain so. Through a relationship with the Holy Spirit, one can receive this virtue from God in one's life. The Holy Spirit, regarding those who relate to Him, does not act with partiality towards them in granting His fruit or each of its virtues. Therefore, anyone who has fellowship with the Holy Spirit, based on faith in Christ Jesus as the Lord, and lets oneself be guided by the Spirit of the Lord, can have the fruit of the Holy Spirit as a result in one's life. The relationship with the Holy Spirit needs to be extensively highlighted, for the fruit of the Spirit, and each of its virtues, only remain active in a person's life as long as one perseveres in the relationship with the Holy Spirit. In the series on the life of the Christian in the world, we covered many ways by which the Holy Spirit helps Christians. But, undoubtedly, one of the central means of His action is that He leads Christians to have each of these precious virtues while they are in Christ, and not dissociated from the Lord. Disassociated from a relationship or fellowship with the Spirit of the Lord, there is no way for an individual to maintain the virtues of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, no matter how long one has lived with them, for they are virtues that act in and through a person only through the operation of the Spirit of the Lord in one's life. And before concluding this topic, we also accentuate that the decision of a person's relationship with the Holy Spirit is individual or personal. Remembering, also, that the Lord says that blessed is the man, blessed is the human being, blessed is the person who believes and trusts in Him, and that the individual who believes in him and draws close to him will also become the one who will see the living water of the Lord becoming in him or her a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life, even if there is a dry season or desert around one's life. Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth, shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Plus. Isaiah 44, 3-6. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground, I will pour my spirit on your descendants, and my blessing on your offspring. They will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. One will say, I am the Lord's, another will call himself by the name of Jacob, another will write with his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, besides me there is no God. Regarding still the aspect of the personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, there are people who even drink sporadically from the living waters coming from God, but who are not like trees that continually extend their roots to the brook or who do not establish themselves in a continuous relationship with the Holy Spirit. And because of this, they also come short concerning receiving the great gift of the fruit of the Spirit of the Lord in their lives. There are also other people who only want to walk in the collective, in the community's momentum, in the pace of others, and not in an intimate and personal relationship with the Spirit of God despite the Holy Spirit being ready to help in the heart of every Christian. And for this reason, too, they do not see the fruit of the Spirit working in their hearts and through them. Therefore, just as faith in God and the salvation offered by the Lord is personal, so walking with the Holy Spirit is primarily an individual or personal decision. No collective relationships, even those that claim to seek God, can supply what the Lord has determined to be granted by each Christian's personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 58:11. The Lord will guide you continually, and satisfy your soul in drought, and strengthen your bones, you shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters do not fail. The Holy Spirit, who God gives to dwell in the heart of a Christian, is perfectly powerful. However, because of the virtues of God that are in him, he also works in everything according to the fruit of God's perfect love and the moderation that is due to the Lord's perfect righteousness, which are also crucial virtues before God for a person's works. And this can only be done by God's direct and continuous work in those who trust in him. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, or moderation. The Holy Spirit is given to the heart of everyone who, by grace and through faith in Christ, becomes a child of God so that each child may come to know the glory of Christ, of the Heavenly Father, and of the love of God not only by hearing, but also by experiencing in one's own life the virtues of the same fruit by which the Lord's Spirit performs all his works. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him.